At this point, most likely late in the crisis era, some spark of history can be expected to ignite a new social moment, a secular crisis, snapping generations into new roles. Such crisis will give boomers a chance to thrust their awakening ideals into the core of a new national, perhaps even global, order. Enter the crisis of 2020. And what I just read to you was written in 1991 from a book called Generations, The History of America's Future. And we're going to do a quick book club because I read through the important details on this. And I'm going to break it down for you today on conspiracy theories and unpopular culture. This is The Great Reset, Part 5. Part 5. We're not stopping. We're not stopping till Santa Claus is dropping. Know what I'm saying? Now, if you're keeping notes, I started this journey, I think, back in December, didn't we? The Great Reset Part 1, we talked about Klaus Schwab. I introduced you to Santa Claus. And we talked about the Illuminati globalist agenda by looking at his book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. Dr. Evil here and the World Economic Forum told you what they want to do. They said, perfect. We've got this terrible virus. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. Then I did The Great Reset Part 2. Crowley's Magic Age, Transhumanism, 5G, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And we went into another one of old Santa Claus's books about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, manifesting physical reality from the mind. It's what it's all about. Ritual magic, manifesting reality. Not your reality. You're a loser. Their reality. They're the winners. They're the elite. And they're going to manifest a reality that they want. And they're going to say, you'll love it too. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. We'll throw you some scraps. And that was a wild one because I found some Kabbalistic, ceremonial, ritual, magic, occult practices there. Because you have to understand, the Third Industrial Revolution was taking physical reality and making it spiritual. And the example given on that show, we talked about how we took like compact discs and made them MP3s, right? You used to buy a disc and you'd scratch the disc and you'd have to go buy another one. They got 4 copies of Beastie Boys' License to Ill. But then here comes Napster. Bada bing, bada boom. Apple making the MP3s. Now we don't do that, the CDs anymore. They took the material and made it spiritual, a very Kabbalistic, Gnostic sort of fantasy. Well, now they want to go the other way. No, they don't want to go back to CDs. Right? CDs nuts. They want to... I'm sorry. It's been a wild day for me. It's been a wild week. I don't know what's happening. The world's gone mad. And it's dragging me down with it. So the Fourth Industrial Revolution was to manifest physical reality from the mind. You're going to take the spiritual realm, the thoughts, the non-material realm, and create reality from the mind. That was Part 2. And that was a bonus show. And you only get the bonus shows if you are a supporter. Where can you be a supporter? You know where to go. Show notes. The Great Reset Part 3. Another bonus one. We talked about the World Economic Forum, the points. My man Jay Dyer, we talked about him. And we basically talked a little bit about the eight points on the World Economic Forum. And one of the takeaways that's relevant to what we're going to talk about today. I'm like stuttering John over here. What we're going to talk about today is going to be the ideas of bringing America down to its knees. That's what they say in the 8 points of the WEF there. America can no longer be a global superpower. We got to destroy the whole system. We got to break Western democracy so that we can have this communist utopia. And Klaus Schwab and the 1,000 richest corporations are going to be the ones to tell you that, oh, it's going to be so great. You're going to love it. It's going to be so good. We're going to make sure everyone's taken care of. Because we're not greedy at all. We would never consolidate all the wealth into the hands of the 1,000 richest corporations in the world. We would never do that. And then the last one we did was The Great Reset Part 4. And that was on the free feed. So you can listen to that one. But we talk about Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse. And oddly enough, he wrote it it was published in 1991. And he predicts the global Great Reset of 2020. And we looked at the silent weapons for quiet wars and all that stuff. Well, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. And we go back to 1991. And this time, we're reading a book called Generations. The History of America's Future, 1584 to 2069 by William Strauss and Neil Howell. And I did all the dirty hard work for you. So you can just go along for the ride here. And before I forget, if you do want to go back and listen to parts 2 and 3 that were on the bonus feed, you got three options. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the VIP section. I got a chart there because I know this is getting confusing for some of you. And I don't blame you. This is my fault. It's my dumb fault for not believing that I would be censored someday. But there's three systems. I got Patreon, I got Rockfin, and then I got IlluminatiWatcher.com. That's the one I manage. That's the least likely of the three to be censored because I run that piece. Rockfin, they assure me they will never censor me. I believe them. Patreon, people like Patreon. They got a lot of, I support people on Patreon. So, like, it's whatever one you like. Whatever flavor you like, you get the bonus shows on all three feeds. Okay, let's get into this book, this boring-ass book. Let's talk about the authors. Who are they? These are the godfathers of the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab, when he puts on his little Dr. Evil outfit, surely he's bowing down to the godfathers. They invented the fourth turning theory, which maybe that rings some bells, and we'll come back to that in just one second. But that's what this generation books is all about. It's about the fourth turning theory. This idea that there's this recurring cyclical nature of our society. Culturally, financially, socially. And that's what that's not what SMQ was talking about. I had a recent guest, SMQ, talking about Wall Street Bets. And he was talking about the shift in timelines back in 2012 when we all died. Remember that? It's going from a linear concept of time to a cyclical nature. And I would argue this might be part of that. William Strauss, the one author, he's dead. Died in 2007. Graduated from Harvard. He's a smart guy, Wicked Smart, from Harvard. He wrote this book in 1991, and then him and Howell teamed up in 1997 for another book called The Fourth Turning. And that Fourth Turning book is the one that influenced Steve Bannon. All right. The other author, Neil Howell, he's still alive. Another Wicked Smart guy. But he graduated from Berkeley and Yale. Is he a bonesman? No clue. Just like Strauss, though, is that a German name? Lots of Germans. Klaus Schwab and William Strauss. He had, and I can make fun of German accents because I'm German, okay? So take it down a notch if you're getting triggered right now. I know you're not because, this is a very triggery show that we run here on this podcast. But Neil Howell, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, so both of these guys, they had all these roles working with these, like, think tanks, like the Center for Strategic and International Studies, all these think tanks. That's what feed into the globalist thing. They look at all these smart guys, and they say, okay, this is where the future should go. Now let's, turn the gears in the mainstream media and Hollywood to make everyone believe this stuff and make it reality. And along the way, we'll make a ton of money. And gain a lot of control. Now, these two guys, like I said, they wrote another book called The Fourth Turning in 97. And this came up on my shows on The Great Reset. But more importantly, QAnon and the Occult, Part 2. Back in October, I believe. September, something like that. at a show called QAnon Part 2, Pepe the Frog, Sigil Magic, Order Out of Chaos, and Steve Bannon. And you can listen to that show. I'll put links in the show notes, but let me give you the rundown in case you don't want to do that. I'll remind you. Steve Bannon, this is a guy just like Trump. They got this Hollywood background, this alt-right sort of perspective on life, trying to influence everyone through Hollywood. And Bannon was working with Citizens United to push documentaries, like one called Generation Zero, in which he blamed the 2008 housing crash on the boomers. He said, and I quote, "Baby boomers are the most spoiled, most self-centered, most narcissistic generation the country's ever produced." And in that documentary, it talks about how the 60s started a change in values that will be undone with a great crisis known as the turning. This is the fourth turning. That's why he said that, because he read these guys' books, Strauss and Howe's books, which, as we'll get into, asserts there will be a great crisis in 2020. And the fourth turning is all about destroying the old order and creating a new one. Right? Order out of chaos, new world order, all these things. A reset, a new normal. All these things ringing bells in your head. And in fact, on my notes for that show, I even talked about this book, about Strauss and Howe's theory of crisis. And someone close to Bannon said he was very familiar with this. Historian David Kaiser, who was consulted for the film, said that Bannon discussed with him what Strauss and Howe consider the past crisis wars. And Kaiser said of Bannon, quote, "He expected a new and even bigger war as part of the current crisis, and he did not seem at all fazed by the prospect. Bannon now seems to be trying to bring about the fourth turning." Then, if you go back to, I believe, April or May, I interviewed Professor Ben Teitelbaum. He wrote, he was hanging out with Steve Bannon. He wrote a book called War for Eternity and talked to us about how Steve Bannon subscribed to the Kali Yuga, the final cycle, the alt-right and their strange ideas about how we've become too material. We need to go back to an authoritarian style of leadership to bring about the golden age, the new world order for them. And the book is fascinating. I read the book, and you can read about the, in the book, there's influences from traditionalism, an occult idea with the thought leaders like Julius Evola, George Jurdif, Jurjef. I always pronounce it wrong. I don't remember what the right pronunciation is, but you know what I'm talking about. And René Guénon. And it talks about these cycles of time, and the Kali Yuga is the destructive cycle, where we break down the masses of bodies for more localized governments, right? So we're abandoning the UN, the World Health Organization, all these things. We resist the globalization efforts because we say, you know what, through modernity and all this weird stuff, we have a lot of problems. Let's see what else. Steve Bannon was studying Jurdif. You probably don't need to hear all this stuff. I'm combing through my notes real quick. But he asserts traditionalism is elitism. It establishes the elite. So there's your direct connection. The idea that we need to destroy the current cycle, accelerate the destruction cycle, so that the elites can take their rightful place, telling us what to do and what to think and all that. And what are we seeing? We're seeing some real friction between the two worlds. You got people on Reddit fighting with the hedge fund managers, and then the hedge fund managers shutting down their access to do a simple basic thing that we're supposed to be able to do in a free market, buy shares of things. Very strange times. But the argument here is that Howe and Strauss, their fourth turning models, were used by Bannon, or by Steve Bannon, when he was trying to get Trump into the office as the campaign advisor, the main strategist. And all the mainstream medias, they parroted the same phrase. It's the agent of chaos coming in. He's going to shake everything up. And that's what he did. Now, let's get into this book. before, because not the fourth turning book, but the Generations book from 1991. And I did not read, full disclosure, like usually I read these books that I do little book clubs on. It's like a 500 page book. It's massive. I didn't read the whole thing because ultimately I don't believe in determinism. Or is that fatalism? I believe that we can come up with our own destiny. You know what I'm saying? I think we could take our own journey. I don't think we're doomed to have to do something, is what I'm saying. I forget the philosophical terms. It's been a long time. So ultimately, I reject all of the things you're going to hear today. But the problem is that powerful people, they believe this stuff. And they enable it. Just like they enable the shorts of GameStop, right? That's what the big problem is with the Wall Street bets. You got these people in positions of power in the mainstream media and the entertainment industry, and they're putting these bets that GameStop's going to shrivel up and die, and they'll make a ton of money in the process. Well, the Reddit folks got together and said, you know what, screw that, let's make them lose money. And they drove the price of GameStop through the roof, and that's what's going on. So it just goes to show, it's like people in these positions of power will in fact use the mainstream media, they'll use censorship, they use everything they can to get their way. And they buy into this kind of crap. All right? And we have to go to this Generations book because this guy did the ideas of the fourth turning. And these guys, Howe and Strauss, they were theorizing that there's this recurring cycle in society based on archetypes of various generations. And each generation archetype runs about 20, 25 years. But then there's a larger cycle, right? There's four generational cycles that repeat every 80 to 100 years. And those are initiated by a crisis. The crisis is followed by a recovery period with a focus on community, aka communism. Maybe. I mean, that's me reading into it. I could be very wrong on that. But the generations that follow eventually follow the same cycle. They tear down institutions. They tear down communism because they say, you know what I want? I want my individual freedom back. And it's just one big cycle on repeat. They got Scarface on repeat. And you go back to the first, and we're going to go through this. Don't get bored yet. They say that, for instance, the cycles that we're in right now, the first turning, the first part of the cycle, was post-World War II. Started in 1946, ended with the assassination of JFK in 1963. So we kind of understand intuitively what was going on, right? Then you move into the second turning, the second cycle. This is the awakening cycle. And you come down from the high of the first turning. And you start to get to where you're making actual progress on the societal level. But that's when people are like, I don't like this community vibe. I want my own individuality and freedom. And this is 1960s to the 1980s, the age of individualism. Then you go into the unraveling, and this is the opposite of the first turning. And now institutions are weak because they've been, you know, defunded or whatever. Nobody trusts them anymore. And the individual thing is in full scale, full swing. This is 1980s with the consumerism. And the malls and the mall hair and Valley Girl. But then it all comes crashing down. The crisis era. This is the era of destruction, war, revolution, institutions being destroyed and rebuilt. And they said the last one we went through was the Wall Street crash in 1929 through World War II. This is the age of social consensus. And interestingly enough, they call this crisis season, because they compare them to seasons, right? Again, cycles. And they call the crisis season winter. What did Joe Biden tell you? said this is going to be a dark winter. Remember, they kept saying that, they kept spiking it. It's like we're living in a massive ritual. And they're selling us reality like Truman Show or something. And of course, this is opposed to like the awakening, which is the summer. So the good news is, to me, I mean, one takeaway I had reading this was that the crisis era, we could be coming towards the end of it, or we could be at the beginning of it. Depends on how you read into this. Because again, this was written in 91. But look at, we had 9/11, the day everything changed. Remember that? 2008, the housing crisis, the crash. And then you got, of course, 2020. What happened in 2020? You know. But let's get into the book here. It's got multiple parts. Part one is talking about the cycles. Talks about the generations, the traits belonging to the archetypes of each generation. Millions of people born in a certain block of time have the same sort of attitude. And that's what they talk about. They talk about the four-part cycle that I just explained. That's part one. Part two, they talk about the generations and the archetypes for each of the cycles and how they fit together. Part three, the future. This is the part that we'll cover. It's the part that I read. Again, you got to understand, this is written from the perspective back in 1991. And here's a fun excerpt I will read to you, describing the awakening cycle of the 1960s, and pay attention to what they say here. Sometime between the mid-1960s and the early 1970s, the American vision of the future shifted from Tomorrowland to Pepperland. And what they're talking about there is Disney's Tomorrowland and the Beatles' Pepperland, like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Erector set affluence was now a ghastly material cancer, publicly disdained and privately taken for granted. Of course we got to the moon. So Americans thought. I don't know. Did you catch that? They basically said we didn't go to the moon. I don't know. Hey, look, I don't think we went to the moon either. So, like, thumbs up on that one, buddy. Buddies. Well, I guess there's one buddy. One of them's dead. I'll read that again. Of course we got to the moon, so Americans thought. In another decade, we would be exploring the outer planets, and in another four or five, shuttling to Alpha Centauri. But all that out there felt trivial compared to what people felt in here. Americans searched for soul over science, meanings over things. Then it goes on, and it describes a weird cycle of, you know, feeling versus doing, material versus spiritual, etc. And it's all based on this generational cyclical nature, based on clashings of different generations and their attitudes, based on this constellational mood model they set up. In each generation, they get the influence of the cycle, and there's a certain mood pervasive in society. But then we get into, again, we're in part three, and this is the only part that I read, and the only part I'll talk about. Because the first two-thirds of the book is just setting up the argument. Chapter 13, they get into the nitty-gritty. And they're looking at questions like, how would the U.S. respond to a terrorist with a nuke in New York City? And the answer is, it depends. It depends on the generational model. What's the mood? Which generation is in power? Furthermore, they postulate what it would look like if it was 2020. Yes. Read along, my friends. Finally, suppose the terrorists were to strike during the upcoming crisis constellation sometime around the year 2020. Once again, a quarter turn in the generational constellation would prompt a response that, from today's perspective, seems unrecognizable. Boomer leaders in their 60s would neither hide nor ponder the rumor. Instead, they would exaggerate the threat. Like, who said there was a bomb in only one city? And tie it to a larger sense of global crisis. Now, is that true? I mean, it's kind of what we did for 9/11. kind of what we did for 9/11. Then it claims, unifying the nation as a community. These leaders would define the enemy broadly and demand its total defeat, regardless of the human and economic sacrifices required. Again, I don't think they were on point about the year. I think they're referring to like 9/11 more than 2020. But you could argue there's elements of 2020 in there, right? Economic sacrifice required. Said evacuation would be mannerly, with cooperative millennial youth seeking and accepting orders from elders, and with pragmatic midlife 13ers making sure no time is wasted. The nation would act promptly and decisively as a single organism. For better or for worse, Americans would be far more inclined than in other eras to risk catastrophe to achieve what its leaders would define as a just outcome. Now that they talk about 13ers, that's referring to Gen X, the 13th generation of America. But let's unpack that a little bit. Because they're, you know, I don't know. I mean, are they right about this? Are they wrong? Aren't the boomers the most defiant group during COVID? I don't know. Let's take a look at the facts. Luckily, the Gallup poll, they did a survey in July 2020. How often do you wear a mask outside the home? And then they had the responses that range from always to never, divvied up by age groups. And the always group is actually fairly close. They're all in like the 40% range. But after that, people over 35 and 55, they have these higher trends of not wearing the masks. If you look at the never, I never wear a mask response. If your age is 18 to 34, that's only 9%. But if you're 35 to 55, it's 16%. It doubles. And the same goes for 55 and older, 14%. So it seems the millennials are more on board with doing what they're told. Cooperative. Accepting orders from the elders. And that's kind of what this book says. It's kind of what the book says. They claim the boomers would exaggerate the threat. Is that true? I mean, the boomers are, they're the ones, if you look at who makes up Congress, there's a bunch of boomers, baby. It's like old white guys, generally. A ton of them are over 80, by the way. But the... So, yeah, did they exaggerate it? I mean, hey, we did many shows on this. At this point, I hang my hat on choose your own reality. Because everyone thinks something different. But that's what they say is going to happen in 2020. 30 years ahead of time, they said it would happen in 2020. And they say, but they kind of say, who knows? And they say, but one thing's for sure about 2020, quote, history tells us one thing for certain about social behavior. It never remains the same for long. The realistic question is not whether it will change, but how and when. And then they start breaking down this crisis that's going to happen in 2020. Crazy, right? And they say, quote, building from the paradigms of the last chapter, we can extend these generational scripts into the future. The millennial cycle already began, as all cycles must, with one social moment, the boom awakening of the late 1960s and 70s. The next, what we call the crisis of 2020, is due to begin when the millennial cycle has run about halfway through its course, the current cycle. So basically, and then it goes on, it says that they foresee a secular crisis, a spiritual awakening. And this is where they break out the crisis era, because they talk a lot about 2020, but there's a full era. And they say it'll be from 2004 to 2025. And they could be pretty close. I mean, you had 9/11 in 2001, obviously. 2008, housing market crash. The shit show that was 2020. I mean, they're not very wrong. And they're suggesting there will be awakening era in 2048. So just hang in there. Hold your breath. We're getting there. But I'm going to keep reading. Meanwhile, public life will become more zealous, less friendly. Social intolerance will grow. Respect for privacy decrease. The widening gap between haves and have-nots will be increasingly recognized as a problem, and people at both ends of the economic spectrum, the intractably poor and greedy rich, will be attacked for lacking acceptable civic virtue. I mean, social intolerance is kind of growing. Privacy is decreasing. Censorship is acceptable on some levels. We're still debating it, but it's happening. And there is a disparity of wealth. All these things are true. Now, if you're not creeped out yet, here's where it gets real creepy. Quote, at this point, most likely late in the crisis era, some spark of history can be expected to ignite a new social moment, a secular crisis, snapping generations into these new roles. Such a crisis will give boomers a chance to thrust their awakening ideals into the core of a new national, perhaps even global, order. Perhaps even global order. A global new world order, a global great reset. There you go. Right there. Boom. The 13ers, again, Gen X. The 13ers, a chance to redeem themselves while playing for the ultimate stakes. And millennials, a chance to demonstrate civic virtue and triumph over great adversity. Meanwhile, a new generation of child adaptives, smothered by heavily protective 13er nurture, will cower at the sight of adults doing great deeds. Enter the crisis of 2020. It puts it on its own line, that sentence. Enter the crisis of 2020. And then it says, we project a crisis lasting from 2020 to 2029. By either measure, the early 2020s appear fateful. What will precipitate this crisis could be almost anything, including incidents trumped up by a generation of elderly warrior priests gripped with visions of moral triumph. The spark that catches fire may seem accidental, like, I don't know, a virus leaking out of a lab. But as with many past examples, the overthrow of Andros, the Boston Tea Party, Lincoln's election, and Pearl Harbor, old idealists may have a hand in stirring events to maximum political effect, mobilizing younger generations into action. You see that? Stirring events into maximum political effect. And what happened in 2020? We had the highest turnout, the highest number of votes ever. Crazy, huh? I'll keep reading. The crisis of 2020 will be a major turning point in American history and an adrenaline-filled moment of trial. At its climax, Americans will feel the fate of posterity for generations to come hangs in the balance. But most importantly, in conclusion, to wrap it up, I'm losing my voice here. Been busy doing lots of shows lately. Most importantly, let's look at how they say the nightmare ends. Right here, quote, how will this crisis end? Three of the four antecedents ended in triumph. The fourth, the Civil War, in a mixture of moral... They're talking about the past Civil War, not the current one or whatever. Is a mixture of moral fatigue, vast human tragedy, and a weak and vengeful sense of victory. We can foresee a full range of possible outcomes, from stirring achievement to apocalyptic tragedy. Uh-oh. What are we going to have? Which way will it go? Stay tuned. One more thing I want to share with you, and then we're done. Let's assume the crisis arrives on schedule around the year 2020. Safe assumption. Once the end is in view, all generations will gaze hopefully toward the milk and honey, completing the millennial cycle of the post-crisis world. By the year 2030, American society will settle into an outer-driven era. Now, what's that, you may ask? Well, I, in fact, looked through the book for you. It's attributed with an upbeat and culturally bland period. And it says it's reminiscent of the antecedent eras around 1710, 1800, 1880, and 1955. Oh, what? Yes. Yes, 1955. And if you recall, that's what Making America Great was referring to, the 1950s, wasn't it? So a lot of people were saying, people are saying, Trump wanted to make it go back to the 1950s. The last outer-driven era. And that, my friends, is what the fourth turning leads into. So I know your mind is blown. Mine's blown. And that's the gist of this book that predicted the future. Did it predict the future, though? Did it predict the future, or did the psychopaths who have the power and wealth and the status needed to coordinate things to fulfill this, you know, this destiny of this cyclical nature, did they just put the things into place to make it happen? Let the debate begin, my friends. Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you want to go even deeper into the Great Reset, we're working on 5 hours of content here. Go back to the Great Reset Part 1. I'll put the links in the show notes for you. And then, like, Parts 2 and 3, again, those are only on the supporter feeds. I threw Part 4 on about Bill Cooper because I thought everyone would enjoy that on the free feeds. But yeah, if you like the show, if you support the research, look, I read this boring book for you. Well, at least one part of it. You know where you can hook your boy up. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP section. Check it out. I got links to Rockfin and Patreon from there. Rockfin, of course, where you get the exclusive show only on Rockfin, Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist. And you'll also get all my conspiracy theories and unpopular culture shows. As well as, you know, Sam Tripoli's got a show on there. Whitney Webb. Like a lot of people. It's like a Netflix thing, right? One subscription fee, you get everybody. All right, you know the deal. You can hit the links in the show notes. Hit me on the Instagram. Hit me on the Twitter. Instagram's @IsaacWeishaupt. Twitter's @IlluminatiEyes. And until next time, stay woke.